So kids, you are welcome to go with Ellen. And youth, finally, your Sunday morning program is here. Daniel, thank you so much for leading. We've been waiting for this Sunday, and we're so glad it begins. So we're going to, this morning, continue our series on blessings. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with a review. So, how many of you remember the American Sign Language for to bless? Do you remember the American Sign Language? Oh, look, we do. Right. And we remember that the sign to bless can be an individual blessing to Vanessa, or it can be extending it bigger and a blessing over others. I found myself this week a little frustrated with a driver near me, and Jordan reminds me to put honey on my lips. What I realized I found myself doing, actually, because I noted, oh, this isn't a good attitude. And I actually, with one hand on the steering wheel, I went like this. And it just came quite naturally. And so that's how we build into our faith and our experience of being Christ-like, is to say, we bless others. What is one posture that you can take on when receiving a blessing? What's a posture of receiving? Yeah? Hands cupped, hands on our heart, hands on our mind as we receive. So when we're receiving blessings from others or from God, we take on this posture to remind us that this blessing is coming in to fill us, and we receive it. Sometimes we receive it and apply it to our lives. We were invited to bless the Lord with, anybody remember? With all that is within us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And we talked about just that big extension of what it means to bless God. And last week we spoke about God who is blessing us with his words, with his actions, and with his creativity. And do you remember how what God does as he blesses over us? What is he doing? He is singing over us. Singing words of blessing. And so we receive those as we think about blessing. We have been focusing on spoken blessings, not the receiving of blessings, but this series is on spoken blessings, of words of blessings, of taking the themes or the actual words of God and extending them to others in hopes that the Holy Spirit will bring those words, will bring those hopes into fruition in the other person's life. And so how have you used your words to bless someone lately? How have you used your words to bless another lately? How have you blessed God? What posture, what words have you used to bless God? And how have you received God's blessings to you? How have you given great thanks? Or how have you taken on that God will never leave me nor forsake me, and held on to that as a blessing? This morning, as we continue our series on blessings, we move into an area that may not come so easily to us, one that we may actually want to avoid, as it focuses on us offering really deep sacrifice. Chris read this morning a portion of Luke 6. And these are really challenging words spoken by Jesus. Blessed are you when people hate you. Really? Blessed are you when people exclude you and insult you. We have to dig deep into that to find the blessing in it, because it's not an on-the-surface blessing. It's a blessing from God, for he sees us in our suffering. And then Jesus invites us to be as God is, to be merciful and kind, and to bless those that he labels, that God gives us word, he labels our enemies. In thinking about it this week, I'm not really sure if I ever labeled anybody an enemy. I'm not sure if I've actually said that person is my enemy. But I have most certainly struggled with relationships in my life. Absolutely, I have. And today, we might consider, who is our enemy? Who might you consider an enemy? those with differing views from you, those who have hurt us or who are hurting us, those who it is very challenging to get along with, those who might have tarnished our name or our reputation, those who don't make it easy at school, at work, in the community, or in our family, those who don't share in our joy, those who test our patience. Do any of those resonate with you? Do any of those make you think, yeah, that might fit under the category of enemy? And now with that in mind, Jesus asks us to love your enemies, to do good to those who hurt you, to bless those who curse you, and to pray for those who mistreat you. Ooh, those are really big words. This is an extension of the command found in Leviticus 19 to love our neighbor. And in extending this, Jesus is inviting us to bless those to whom we have a natural impulse to hate or to dislike or to disregard. Jesus teaches us that we must do all the real kindness we can towards those whom we struggle with. Jesus invites us to bless them, to pray for them. And this is not the same as blessing each other or blessing those that we are in a good relationship with. This is not a good for good, but this is a good for evil, as it were. Jesus invites us to bless those whom it is most difficult to love. And what Jesus is asking us to do is a high calling. In my reading this week, I came upon a commentary on blessing our enemies, and I found it very meaningful. And so I'm going to read it for you. It said that there are two kinds of love. The one is that feeling by which we easily accept the other as their behavior or their beliefs and their presence are very compatible to us. And this is called the love of complacency. The other love, the one with which we bless the person though we do not approve their conduct or actually we don't enjoy them, this is the love of benevolence. And this is the love we are to bear towards our enemies. It is very challenging to love the person who curses us, who injures our person or property, or who disregards creation, people, and community. But though we may hate or have strong feelings against their conduct, and that we suffer because we are affected by it, we are still called to bless them, to pray for them, to do good. We are invited to return good, as I said, for evil. We might aid them in time of trouble. We may seek to do good and to offer them God's care. And this seems to be what it is meant when we are invited to love our enemies and to bless those who curse us. This is a special law of Christianity. And again, I think it might be the most difficult instruction of Jesus to follow, to bring into our life. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke powerfully about Jesus' teaching to love our enemies and to bless those who curse us. He wrestled practically and at great cost to love his enemies both through prayer and through intentional, nonviolent, direct acts. And I'm going to read a passage from Martin Luther King's sermon called Loving Your Enemies. And I begin. Probably no admonition of Jesus had been more difficult to follow than the command to love your enemies. Some people have sincerely felt that this practice is not possible. It is easy, they say, to love those who love you, but how can one love those who openly and insidiously seek to defeat you? This command of Jesus challenges us with new urgency. And though this was spoken decades ago, it resonates with us on this day. Upheaval after upheaval has reminded us that modern humanity is traveling along a road called hatred, in a journey that will bring us to destruction. The command to love one's enemies is an absolute necessity for our survival. Love, even for enemies, is the key to the solution of the problem of our world. Jesus is not an impractical idealist. He is the practical realist. He continues, I am certain that Jesus understood the difficulty inherent in the act of loving one's enemy. He realized that every genuine expression of love grows out of a consistent and total surrender to God. So when Jesus said, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, he meant every word of it. When he spoke of love, it was not some sentimental and weak response. When Jesus bids us to love our enemies, he is speaking of agape love, the understanding and creative, redemptive goodwill for all people. Our responsibility as Christians is to discover the meaning of this command and seek passionately to live it out in our daily lives. And that ends the quote. In our reading from Luke 6, Jesus instructs us to do good, to bless, and to pray for our enemies. Commentaries note that this is a completely unique statement. It was, and I believe it still is, revolutionary and shocking. The idea Christ presents is found nowhere else in historical literature. Before Jesus said it, blessing those who curse you was truly unheard of. In each sermon in this series, my hope has been to introduce us to an action or to a posture to give and to receive blessings. And this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to guide us through a prayer practice that we can use when we are seeking to love and to bless and to pray for those under the theme of enemy. Oftentimes, we are experiencing conflict. When we are experiencing conflict or hurt, or a breakdown in relationship, going to that person with words doesn't always work. Going to that person trying to make amends doesn't always work. Sometimes there needs to be a time of stepping back or of letting go. And in times of deep kind of conflict or tension, our words or actions might actually be not only ineffective, but not valuable in that time. It might not be safe for us to be present to the other. And I want to acknowledge that. It might not be safe for us to be present to someone that we put under the title of enemy. We may be healing from a hurt so big that space is needed, that new locations are needed. And so this prayer becomes a way of blessing our enemy. I discovered this prayer practice about 6 months ago, and I have used it. Right? My promise always is I will never introduce something to you that I personally have not used. And I find it a beautiful way of living out, blessing those who curse you. And in praying this prayer, I have been led to release my grip and my angst toward those whom I might be in a ruptured relationship with, or a little bit of, I don't know how to be with you right now, or I don't want to be with you right now. And so this prayer practice has many times offered me the words and the roadmap to living out Jesus' instruction to bless those who curse me and to pray for those who mistreat me, who mistreat us. I didn't create it. It is based on an episode from the podcast called the Eternal Current Podcast, and it is the session or the podcast that was called Praying Like a Master Chef, and it is taught by Aaron and Shauna Nyquist. In John 17, Jesus offers a prayer to his disciples, and I invite you to go and find that and read that this afternoon. And from this prayer, Shauna learned that Jesus invites us to pray 4 specific prayers over people. Shauna began using this as a guide, and she prayed these prayers for union, for protection, for joy, and for sanctification over people, a rather big word. Those she was in an easy, loving relationship with, and those with whom there was challenge and broken relationship. When things are difficult, We are either often over-involved, we can find ourselves pressing in and trying to resolve it, or we become under-involved. We step way back. We disappear. And prayer becomes this middle place, this place in between. And it's a healthy place. It's between I'm going to take over and solve it my way, and it's in the middle of checking out and saying I don't care anymore. And it gives us a way to love people and to entrust them to God's care and God's goodness. It's a healing prayer. And it guides us into blessing those who curse us. And this is a way that we are invited to love people. We are doing something. We are blessing them. We are bringing them to God. We are following that which Jesus invites us to do. And so there are four parts or four prayers within this prayer. And I'm going to read them out and then we're going to work through it. So the first part is for union. We pray for union. For this person's connection to God and other supportive and loving people. We pray for their protection, for physical, emotional, and spiritual protection, protection of their heart and their mind and their soul. We pray for joy, for laughter, for delight, for beauty, for enjoying creation, for celebrating. And we pray for sanctification, which is praying for the ongoing process of them becoming Christ-like. We pray Christ-likeness into their lives. Another way of expressing these four prayers are we pray for support for them, for blessing for them, for delight for them, and for Christ-likeness. And so we're going to practice this prayer. And I invite you actually to find this podcast because Aaron Nyquist really moves us through it in a very beautiful way. So first of all, as we practice, we're going to think of someone in our lives that we love, that we feel warmly towards, that we are excited to pray for. This can be anybody in your family, your friends, someone in the community, your kids, your neighbor, just someone that you love and that you're excited to pray for. And we're going to close our eyes, if you would, into a posture of prayer. One posture of prayer. And I'm going to invite you to let that person's face come into your mind and your heart. Picture that person. And then we're going to pray for them. And I'm going to give a guiding sentence. And you are going to bring your words to that person. So pray for union and support for them. That they would be deeply connected to God, to others, and themselves. Pray for support, connection, for love. And now pray for their protection, that they would be protected from evil, from lies, from physical harm, from despondency, from bullying. Pray for a blessing, for safety, for God's covering over them, for God's place of shelter. Pray for their protection. Pray for joy for this beloved one, that their life would be drenched with joy, with delight, with happiness, with thriving. And pray for their sanctification, that God would continue to make them into the person that God made them to be. Make them Christ-like. Continue, God, your good work in them. Help them to flourish, to become like you, to act like you, to receive you. And now, what I invite you to do is with your imagination, picture this person experiencing union, protection, joy, and sanctification. Pray from your heart And imagine this for this person. Union, joy, protection, and sanctification. Thank you, God, that you love this person that we love more than we ever could. We join with your love and delight for them. Amen. And now, we're going to pray for someone with whom we have a difficult or a broken relationship, someone with whom there is tension right now, misunderstanding, distance, a challenging person you miss because of this challenge, someone who may have caused you hurt, someone right now there's just not an understanding with. And so using this prayer, we're going to move away from our own interests, and we're going to pray blessing over this person. Sometimes when we're praying our own interests, we might say prayers like, well, God, no one else prays like that when they're praying for an enemy. I hope that this person sees my way or comes to understand that they have hurt me. Or I really pray, God, that this person would change. That is not a prayer of blessing, but is a prayer that comes from our being sometimes when we're trying to pray for someone that is challenging us. What we want to pray is that they would be experiencing joy even though we are not experiencing joy with them. And so again, if you would take on one posture of prayer with your eyes closed, gently. And maybe today, if it's too hard to pick the person that might be a strong enemy in you, if that doesn't feel safe, please be gentle. But I invite you to invite God to bring this person's face to mind, someone who you're in a challenge with. Who might God invite you to pray for? We will pray for this person who is deeply loved and created by God. We will pray that God would bring them into union with him and with others and with themselves. And so with this person's face in mind, and if you'd like, hand on heart or hands extended forward, we pray for this person. Pray that God would bring them into union with himself, with others, and with themselves. Pray that they would have connection, support, that God would lead them out of isolation and into deep connection with those who love them and will care for them. Pray for their protection, that God would keep them safe from harm, from discouragement, from despair. Pray for their safety, that they will be held by God in the complexity of all that is going on. Pray that they would know God's care. Pray that God would give them joy, even today, that God would help them experience the goodness of this day, of relationships, of God, of something that brings light or goodness into their day. Pray for laughter. Pray for a friend for them. Pray for joy. Pray for their sanctification, not what you want to see change in them, but that God would heal them, transform them, continue to build into them, for God's healing and transformation into Christ's likeness. Pray for their sanctification. And now pray the prayer of imagination. Picture this person experiencing union, protection, joy, and sanctification. Though this may be challenging, I invite you to try one little bit today. See if you can bless them this morning with union, protection, joy, and sanctification. Most merciful God, we hold this person, your beloved child, to you. We release them to your care. We bless them as you have instructed us to do. We seek to bless in the hard. We release them to you. Amen. This is a prayer over the last 6 months that I find myself going to quite quickly when something feels broken. And what it's done for me, it's offered kind of like guardrails, as it were. It keeps me from going too far out here into the weeds of complaint or dislike or angst. And so I invite you also to make this a prayer practice, to remember the four prayers, to do this, take 5 minutes. And my experience has been really, really being able to, with integrity, hand this person to God and wish for them joy and protection and union and sanctification. And may this be so in each of our lives. I'm going to invite Chris and Amanda to come forward, and we're going to sing our final song. But before that, Debbie, I'm wondering if you can scoot up here, as it were. As we celebrated last week, Debbie has been welcomed into a senior's residence in Guelph, which has been a deep prayer request of Debbie's. And she'll be moving to Guelph near the end of October, but we spoke last night and she wasn't sure if this would be her last Sunday for now with us. And so as we do at the Gathering Church, we want to extend a blessing over Debbie. And so we often just extend our hands in blessing. And I'm going to pray for Debbie. Dear God, we are so thankful for Debbie. God, I am thankful that she knows you, that she experiences you by words you speak to her, by physical touch that you give to her on her shoulder. God, I thank you that we as a Gathering Church have had the opportunity to see Debbie grow in faith and in kindness and commitment to community. Thank you, God, for her generous spirit, for the way she gives freely to others, God. Thank you that she is now receiving that which she has prayed for so diligently, God, a new place to call home, a safe, secure place that where she will receive care and kindness and new community and activity. And so, God, we ask that you might bless Debbie as she goes. Would you provide her with new, good, solid relationships? Would you comfort her in times that she will miss her community and friends here? Would you heal and restore places within her as she is cared for in this new space? And, oh, Lord God, would you shine your face upon her, and would you give Debbie peace? And with great thanksgiving, we say, amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Amen. If you are able, please stand to sing.